Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. We're going to have a good show tonight. We're going to have a good time. As always, I do want to hear from you. So, I expect you to break me off a call, 646-929-2037. Like I said, as always, I love hearing from you. You know, I want to hear what you got to say. I know what I got to say. Sometimes. Not all times, but sometimes. But I do want to hear from you also. So I want you to break me off a call, 646-929-2037. And as I'm always saying, I do also want to hear from you, your thoughts. If you're too shy to call, you can always hit us off for email. You can hit me an email at dick@smoothdrama.com. Once again, I want to hear your thoughts, and let's say you write me an email, something that's on your mind, something that's been bugging you, been itching inside you, you want to let it out, but you're just a tad bit afraid to say it. Hey, email me, dick@smoothdrama.com, and I will be your voice. Now, on top of that, we're going to be putting out another newsletter here in May. The special hardcore issue, because May is a special month for me. So, and y'all will find out why in the next newsletter. So, once again, if you got an article, something that you want to put down, poetry, whatever, you want the people to read it, you want to express yourself, because here at Smooth Drama, it's all about open expression, because, of course, like I said, I want to hear from y'all. I want to give y'all a voice. Because I already got my voice. Quite clear. I think. Let me clear my throat. I guess that's why I'm not a rapper. Anyway, also, if you want to keep up with us, you can special events that we may do, whatnot, like our karaoke trip and whatever. You can text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. Once again, to keep up with us, and also so we can keep up with you, because you know we're trying to track y'all and put you in the matrix. Y'all believe that? Anyway, you can text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. Now, this coming weekend, we got a special fight going to happen here. Oh, been waiting for it for a while. Not quite the fight we thought we was going to have, but this one might even be better than that one. We got Floyd Mayweather Jr. set to fight against Sugar Shane Mosley. And, man. For those of you, if you watch the 24/7 or if you're a boxing fan, whatnot, you've probably been anticipating this for a while, because these cats have been circling each other for a minute, you know, going back and forth, you know, I want to fight you. I mean, it actually started when Shane was the hot property and was the lightweight champion, I believe, down at 135. And Floyd Mayweather was a young up-and-comer, and he was challenging Shane to fight. And Shane, at the time, was looking for bigger and better. He wasn't looking for no, as he would call it, small fights then. And he jumped two weights from 135 to 147 to challenge Oscar De La Hoya in the fight that he won. So Mayweather's people were like, well, he was ducking us for years because he was afraid to fight us. And then a few years back, Floyd Mayweather had challenged Sugar Shane Mosley yet again, and Sugar Shane said he had a sore tooth or whatever. But it's common industry knowledge that basically what he was doing was he was staying back because at the time when Oscar De La Hoya was trying to challenge Floyd Mayweather, so he stepped back for them to fight. And as we know, you know a little boxing history, Shane Mosley has gone on to fight damn near any and everybody who's in the top 10. I don't think there's anybody in the top 10 aside from Manny Pacquiao and the fight that he just turned down, well, not turned down, but was canceled, Andre Berger, that Shane hasn't fought. I mean, Shane fought Miguel Cotto in a fight where, in my eyes and a few of my other homies' eyes, it was a disputed loss, because I actually thought Cotto ran for like 5 rounds and didn't want to fight at all. I don't know how he got the decision. I mean, we kind of know because it's one of those boxing deals where Miguel Cotto at the time was the HBO fighter, so he got the house decision. And at the same time, Mosley, he fought Luis Collazo, a top 10 heavyweight. I mean, not heavyweight, welterweight, that had been avoided for a long time. He fought Oscar De La Hoya twice when De La Hoya was in his prime. We want to make that clear, and he won both decisions. Also, Shane fought Mayorga, who was another very, very avoided welterweight. He fought Winky Wright. He fought Vernon Forrest. So basically, Mosley has fought a who's who of guys that nobody else would even touch. I probably would challenge anybody to find a record, a ledger of fighters that somebody else fought that was more dangerous than what Mosley fought. I mean, and even the fight against Antonio Margarito last year, where it was discovered that Margarito had the plaster in his gloves, whatnot. At the time, Mosley was an underdog in that fight. He was, you know, it was 2-1 that he was going to get knocked out. A lot of us were afraid for Mosley, like, oh, he's going against the stone-faced killer here. But history shows that Margarito got the plaster taken out of his glove, and Mosley goes on to a sensational knockout, knocks him out. Now we move on to Floyd Mayweather, who had an interesting, I mean, Mayweather fought a who's who actually at lightweight after Sugar Shane had vacated that belt, whatnot, in the division. I mean, Shane fought Angel Manfredi, who at the time nobody wanted to fight, and I thought was actually going to beat Floyd. Floyd knocked him out rather easily. He fought the fight that everybody knows that quote-unquote made him a star, the Arturo Gatti. I mean, he fought the late Diego Carlos, another fighter that not a lot of people wanted to fight. He fought Luis Castillo twice. First time he fought him with a bum shoulder. So, you know, Mayweather has fought his share of tough fighters also. It's just most people complain because at welterweight, he hadn't fought anybody that they said was tough. And on that, I will agree, because there are a few fighters. I thought that he should have fought Margarito. I thought that he would have outclassed Margarito and made Margarito look very, very silly, but he chose not to fight that fight. And it could have been something to do with the fact that Margarito was managed by his old promoter, Bob Arum, and he didn't want to do business with Bob Arum. And they still have the acrimonious relationship now, which is part of the reason why we didn't get the quote-unquote super fight that everyone was looking for, the Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather fight. You know, we kind of had to settle, or Manny Pacquiao fought a sparring session against, I hate to even say his name, Joshua Clottie, which was single-handedly probably gave sleep to half of North America that watched, that had the misfortune of watching that fight, you know, because the undercard was horrible and the main event was horrible also. So it is what it is. I guess that's the whole pay-per-view you get for. Sometimes it's not working money. Now, of course, on the B side here, A side, B side, depends on who you're a fan of. Shane Mosley is definitely 10 times head and shoulders above Joshua Clottie. And that's who Floyd is fighting now. Some people say Floyd was backed into a corner. He couldn't get a soft touch. He kind of had to take a tough fight. My thoughts on the fight is it's up in the air. It could be one of those where Floyd makes Shane look silly, makes him look old, and delivers a calculating, boring fight where he just counters him all night and makes him look silly, sort of like he did Juan Manuel Marquez last year, his last fight. But smart money, and something in me says that Shane is going to push the issue. Shane is going to be up in Mayweather's ass and is going to try to send a message to Shane, let him know, hey, you know what, you're going to be in the fight, little boy. I got you tonight. And it should be an excellent fight, because I think that Shane Mosley has the style to bring out the best in Floyd Mayweather, meaning make him fight, make him respect him, and have to do more than the shoulder roll, throw a counter punch, move out the way. I think he's going to have to do a little bit more than that. He's going to have to dig deep for this fight, which, of course, would be great for us, because I'm probably in the minority, you know, people who would say that I honestly don't think that Manny Pacquiao would give Floyd Mayweather a tough fight. Because what people don't understand is the whole Evander Holyfield. I can't believe I'm quoting Evander Holyfield. Styles make fights. And because Manny Pacquiao has fought a bunch of guys who don't move their head if their life depend on it, a stationary target, he can look spectacular. You know, if you keep fighting guys that are chinny, one, can be knocked out. Two, they have no defense whatsoever, you'll look great. And this is not taking anything away from Manny Pacquiao, because, quite honestly, Manny Pacquiao is one of my favorite fighters. I love him because he comes to fight, but at the same time, he has been the beneficiary of some great matchmaking. I mean, he has fought Ricky Hatton, who Mayweather had already destroyed, Miguel Cotto, who had been destroyed by Antonio Margarito, David Diaz to win his 135 belt, and Joshua Clottie, who was the poster child for failure to launch a punch, at all, maybe three punches around. So, like I said, not to take away from him, but I don't think that he has fought anybody that was a tough out, per se, that he had to really, really, really be concerned with. All that being said, focusing back on Mosley Mayweather, it's a real up-in-the-air fight. Like, honestly up-in-the-air. We don't know who has a chance to win and who doesn't, which makes for a compelling fight. Now, the undercard, it's not even worth mentioning. So, for those of you out there looking to pay for it, you know, do like everybody else. Have your fight party. Have it on mute. And just go back and forth on the games. I mean, the NBA playoffs going on, so you can watch playoff games in between waiting on the main event Saturday night to happen. I'm looking forward to it. I know a lot of you are looking forward to it, too. And, you know, I've got a bunch of friends that are up in the air with this. You know, I got friends who think that Mosley is going to give him his come up because a lot of them feel like Mayweather has been talking crazy shit. I mean, we're talking about the kind of shit that, you know, on a ridiculous level where I'm better than Muhammad Ali, I'm better than Sugar Ray Robinson, and where, you know, I would regretfully, respectfully disagree with him because, as I see it, there's nobody on Floyd's, what you say, ledger of opponents that are Hall of Fame worthy. I mean, there's not even a guy really in his list of opponents that are considered very good fighters. I mean, they're okay fighters, but nobody where you're like, yeah, he was an all-time great. Where we look back, Muhammad Ali fought a bunch of heavyweight cats who are in the Hall of Fame. Sugar Ray Robinson, man, fought over 200 fights, and he fought Hall of Famers 4 or 5 times each. And I know it's a different era, whatnot, but and I know that Floyd is in it to sell fights, you know, so that they're playing the bad guy. But there's a certain level where, you know, respectfully, you shouldn't go. You know, I was talking earlier where we were talking about Muhammad Ali and how he took it too far to Joe Frazier. You know, it's one thing to sell a fight. It's another to be demeaning and very disrespectful at the human level. You know, one thing, you disrespect my skills. Cool, because we settle it in the ring anyway. We go hand in hand and handle it. But it's another thing where you disrespect the person at the core level, which is what he's doing. You know, and the money Mayweather, I get it. You know, it's a marketing tool because when he was a nice guy, he sold 300,000 fights. Now, as Money May, he does close to 1 million every fight. So I understand the marketing part. The marketing is brilliant, but there's somewhere where you kind of got to slow up and not go too far. But that's me. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. I could be right. And as far as the fight goes, I guess we'll find out this weekend. In the meantime, we're going to go here and do the longest tribute ever. As always, I'm still mourning and big up in Guru from Gangstar. I can't stop. I won't stop. Not trying to be Puff Daddy. But I can't stop, won't stop. I'm gonna play the first song that I ever heard from Gangsta. Words I Manifest. Hip Hop Classic.
Okay, and then sway. Well, I convey that we must do away with all the stress and the strife. So God bless your life. Use kindness and never blindness. And you will find that this perspective is best. Check it out. These are the words that I manifest. I manifest.
Man, oh. You're listening to Smooth Drama. You're listening to Smooth Drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. As always, love hearing from you. So, you got something to say? You're interested in what I'm talking about? You can break me off a call at 646-929-2037. Once again, I want to hear from you. I want to talk with you. I want to hear what you got to say. You know, cause I know what I want to say about 35% of the time. The other 65% is just coming out of me like throw up. So you can hit me up at 646-929-2037. Also, like always, you're afraid to call, you can email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. Like I said, May, we're going to have a very special newsletter because May is a month that's dear to my heart for certain sentimental reasons that get me choked up inside. But we're not going to get there yet. I can't spoil that, but of course, May's newsletter, hardcore, because May is, of course, a hardcore month because certain individuals just made it hardcore. So I gotta roll with it and be that way. So if you're interested in writing an article for the newsletter, poetry, or you just have comments about what was in our last April newsletter, feel free. Article. We won't edit it unless your spelling is just atrocious, which as an adult it should not be because, you know, if you're doing it in Word or whatnot, they have spell check, so you really have no excuse unless you're being ebonic on purpose, which I can respect. So, whatever's clever. Now, as always here on Drama, not only are we about dissing the ignorant, but we also strive to be educational. At least I know I do. And like to talk about things that just don't normally come up. I mean, one thing I heard about was a cat-like animal, the civet. There's such thing as civet coffee. Civet spelled C-I-V-E-T. And found out that civet coffee is derived from the dung of the civet. I guess what it does is that it feasts on the coffee cherry and then produces a fermented bean, which is used to produce a brew that is fetching top dollar in Indonesia and the Philippines. Now, if y'all quite understanding what I'm saying here, but there's an animal in Asia, Southeast Asia in particular, that shifts out coffee bean remains that harvesters charge hundreds of dollars per pound. I guess there's a huge demand for civet coffee, and the debate is about how to keep the process pure. They got some farms where they cage the civets who eat the coffee and cherries, and they feed it to them directly. And then there's others who feel like, you know, that's wrong, and it derives from the quality of the Wild Harvest. They're saying, and there's a report out there saying that these beans go for $227 a pound. Now, I don't like coffee, first and foremost. So, it's not really a thing for me. But the fact that people are drinking coffee, excuse me, from cherries that the animal ate and shitted out, as opposed to just the cherry from the beginning. I mean, are they saying that the shit, lack of a better word, the shit is what makes this coffee stand out? I'm curious now. I'm gonna have to see if I can find if Civet Coffee is being sold here in the United States. It's kind of funny. They said that their school said, can you detect any poo-like flavors? Now, for me, that's kind of the question is a misnomer, because that would mean you would know what shit tastes like. So I don't know if I would feel insulted if you asked me whether or not I tasted any shit in the flavor of the coffee, because obviously the connotation is that on occasion you have dined in shit. But we're not gonna get shitty with it. I'm just saying that one of the people quoted in the article said, some people detect some extra fermentation. That's special. That's extra special. I mean, it just goes to show you, you know, in the world, it takes all kinds. I mean, because I know here in the West, we have certain things that we eat. You know, a lot of people, Big Mac, quarter pounder, cheese, whatnot, or as they say, Pulp Fiction, Royale with cheese in France. But if you go to India, they're looking at you like you're crazy. Like, you don't eat cows. So, it all depends. Just like people were up in arms, you know, with Asians, China, whatnot, because they ate dogs. I'm like, who's to say dogs not exotic meat? I mean, over in the Middle East, they eat camel. And they say that it's sweet and tender, and it's more tender than ground beef over here. So, can't necessarily diss it. Don't knock it till you try it, even though I'm going to knock it and I'm not going to try it. I'm not eating shit. It's just, I can't bring myself to do it. I find out that the shit is it out. It kind of, Anyway, now, moving on to what people eat. Well, down in Australia, they had an overabundance. They had one of those biblical ordeals where they had a swarm of locusts all across Australia. So, what people down one cafe called Cafe and Mildura. They offer locusts as a topping for pizza. And there's a town, 60,000, called Glen Milne, where as they round up the locusts in a garbage bag, and they put them on pizza. They said that dried locusts are about 62% protein and can be prepared and stir-fried. They can be roasted or boiled. They even have a few recipes, pizza being one of them. So, as people in Australia have come up with a unique solution to their locust problem, because the locusts had been killing their plants, whatnot, so they decided to eat them as part of their campaign. Now, that's a place where I'm just not going to go to eat, because obviously in Milne, Australia, if you order the stir fry or the pizza or whatnot, you might get some locusts. And everyone needs a little protein, but I'm thinking I'll get my protein from somewhere else. That's just me. I don't know. I can't fuck with it. It's way past me. But, you know, doing what you gotta do. Got a locust problem? Make some locust pizza. Locust and pepperoni, please. Make me want to call Pizza Hut right now. Psych. Now, staying overseas for a minute. You know, talking about China in general, something disturbing. A guy with a knife attacked a kindergarten class. At least 28 children were injured when a man with a knife attacked a kindergarten class in East China on Thursday morning. Most of the victims are 4-year-olds. And 3 of the children were in critical condition. Police said they arrested a 47-year-old suspect. And I guess this is something that, this is like the second day in a row that something like that's happened in China, where there was a man who attacked 18 students and a teacher with a knife at a primary school in southern China's, and I'm going to mess this up, Guangdong province. You know, and this is a 40-year-old too. So I guess maybe 40 is just a bad age in China, and you go through menopause where it's just for men, and you want to grab knives and attack children. I don't know. I'm not trying to make light of it. It's terrible. And the fact that this guy, he stabbed 8 children to death and wounded 5 others. Well. And that was last month. It's like, wow. You know, what's in the water in China, where they just want to attack little kids? I don't understand it. And the thing that makes it even more galling is that the guy who carried out the attack, he said he was frustrated at failures in his romantic life. Yep. Failure in his romantic life makes him want to go kill kids. I don't know what the hell that's about. You know, and this is what I was talking about before, where I said maybe we need to start a website, a dating service for the crazy and deranged, so that y'all can hook up with each other. You know, talking about all the Catholic priests that are sexually frustrated and they molest little boys and girls. You know, the molesters who, just the regular ones, not the ones in the church, the ones who actually go to jail. Maybe if we had a website where they can hook up with some of these teachers who've been hooking up with little boys and little girls. We bring all these people together. I'm thinking if we bring all these people together and it just, it's crazyanddereangedbootycall.com. And you get all the crazy folks together. You know, they can converse with each other. They can talk about sick shit together. And basically hook up with each other, fuck each other. I'm thinking that's the solution. You know, because I'm about solutions to the problem. Now, I think there's got to be some way where we can get these folks where they can hang out with each other. You know, obviously, they have sexual issues, whatnot, and they can't express themselves in a normal fashion with the rest of society. Now, I'm saying maybe if we allow a vehicle to these individuals, because the obvious, you know, putting them in jail, it's not working. No, because they still are sexual deviants there. I'm saying maybe if they can hook up with each other and, you know, maybe reach out and they can hook up with each, maybe that'll solve some of the problem. It's thought. I know some people say, that's blasphemy, Dick. What the fuck are you talking about? I'm saying, what we doing working? I don't think so. What we're doing is definitely not working. And I don't know about y'all, but in paying attention to the news and reading the news, we hear about a new one of these stories, whether it be a Catholic priest or some guy snatching a girl and raping them, or some teacher who hooks up with a 12, 13-year-old boy, and some teacher who hooks up with 15, 16-year-old high school girl. I mean, we get a bunch of these stories. And, I mean, hey, we can go on and on and on and on. And so we got to look at how do we solve the problem. Because obviously, these are people who need dates. They need to be able to go on a date and score. And I'm saying, make a website. That's for y'all. You're a sick and twisted individual. You want to get some on the low. You don't have time for a relationship. You can hook up with one of your other sick and perverted people. And y'all, whatever, however you want to call it, it could be anonymous. Y'all can do it. Y'all can hook up and do it. You know, I'm talking about the astronaut woman that traveled all that way in her space diaper to take old girl out because she wants. See, people like that, they need somebody. You know, they need some special kind of affection. Y'all can be there for each other. Just a thought. On that note, going to take a station identification break. And if y'all got any better ideas, I might holler at me.
Yes, sir. This smooth drama, drama, drama.
Yes, sir.
Listen here, man. It's your boy, Cam Wee. I'm just acting a fool, acting a fool, acting a fool. With my man DH, y'all know him as, and Butter Butter Pecan. Yes, sir. Chosen.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Now, we have a culture of violence here in the United States. And I'm not going to say that we any more violent than anywhere else. I mean, obviously, the world has problems, and we're hearing about people blowing up shit from Russia to stabbing up kids in China. But we're here in the United States, so, you know, we kind of got to handle it in our own backyard. You know, the culture of violence that's going on here, also the fact that there's no more tough love, there's no more lessons learned. You know, it used to be, I hate saying this, about the whole fist fight and kids playing outside. You know, kids don't play outside. They've outlawed, a lot of them are outlawed, like tag. Kids don't play tag or, you know, hide and seek and stuff like that anymore on a regular basis. You know, because a lot of school systems, because they say that it stigmatizes some kids. And I'm like, hey, you know what? It used to be y'all couldn't keep up. Hey, you just got to learn to suck it up because you're it until you can figure out how to get in better shape and not be it. Or when we would play a game, and I guess you have to be from the South to remember this, out in California where we're based now, the game is called Knockout, but we used to call it Dick Out. No pun intended. Basically, you know, you get the ball, you pick who you want to stick, you score on them, and you dick them, and they're out. Now, for you perverts out there, not pull your dick out. That's not what I'm saying. When I say dick out, I mean with a basketball, you score the bucket, and whoever was holding you on defense have to go to the sideline. Once again, a game where it's played. Why I bring this up? Because I'm reading about a 12-year-old Santa Monica boy who died playing the choking game, where these kids, they're engaging in the asphyxiation game, which was referred to as the choking game. You know, officers have responded to a medical emergency on the 20th of April. 12-year-old Eric Robertson, a sixth grader at Lincoln Middle School in Santa Monica, as he was in full cardiac arrest because he had hung himself using a rope in the kitchen. He was taken to a local hospital, and the next day he was taken off life support and pronounced dead a short time later. You know, the investigation revealed that young Mr. Robinson had been playing the choking game where you choke yourself, you bring yourself to near death, and it's supposed to cause some euphoric effect, whatnot. I mean, somewhat, I guess, at some level similar to what David Carradine was doing, but he was choking his chicken and his throat. But still, the tragedy, because it goes back to what I was saying. Kids aren't playing regular games. They're playing games like young Mr. Robinson here, fatal games, the choking game. You know, what is this? Or you have Butler Elementary School in Pennsylvania, where they discovered at Broad Street Elementary School a death list in a library book. And so school official, one kid found it when he was about to check out the book. And so what they did, and these are fifth graders, they went and checked who had the book last. They found out that it was a fifth grade kid, and he admitted to doing it. And it goes, hold on a second, got a call. Caller, you're on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. How you doing?
All right. Sitting back listening to you. Look like you're reading or something.
I'm reading? Did you have a question?
Say what?
Did you have a question? Do you want to make a comment?
No, I'm just listening right now.
Okay.
I'm listening to what you're talking about. Dialed in to it, so I just want to see what you're talking about.
All right. Well,
all right, brother.
I'll put you on hold now. Keep going. Now, what I'm saying is, once again, we're talking about kids don't play regular games. Kids don't do normal shit. And it's like, why are our children like this? You know, what's the culture? What's the cultural attitude out here? What makes these kids go crazy like this? But then, you know, you say you think about what's been going on the past year or so, where we've had constant turmoil as far as the healthcare debate. Yeah, I remember had all these old folks tackling each other in town hall meetings, coming off the top rope on each other over whether or not people should get basic health care. I didn't understand it. Senseless violence. And, you know, I'm looking at it not understanding it. But then you look at it like some of these kids are hearing about it and looking at it, and they act that out because kids do what the adults do. Now, of course, we can blame video games, you know, because there are some video games that are quite graphic and quite crazy. But I like to go back, and I still want to go back to when Malcolm X, when he made the statement about the chickens coming home to roost. Where he spoke about JFK's assassination. You know, when you perpetuate violence in your society, eventually, you know, you perpetuate it abroad, it comes back home. And that's what we have. We have a situation where everything we do is about highlighting, accentuating differences. We don't do nothing talking about coming together and working together. That shit's for birds. And I want to keep bringing up the Malcolm X point because I'm still in shock, actually, that Mr. Hagen, one of the assassins of Malcolm X, is out free. I don't think I can ever stop talking about it. I don't think I can ever say I'm cool with that. And maybe I'm the only one, but I think that it's wrong that he can murder a man, or plot to murder a man in cold blood in front of his wife and kids, and in front of a bunch of onlookers and supporters, and be able to get out and can spend time with his family, his wife and kids. Is there something wrong with that? Maybe I'm the only one that thinks that. I don't know. I'm curious on how everybody else thinks, but I know for sure that I will never understand it. I will go to my grave never understanding it. I'm sorry. You know, there's just something wrong there. You know, sort of like in Chicago, they're talking about bringing in the National Guard to stop the violence. I'm not understanding that. It's a U.S. city. One, that would be unconstitutional because you're not supposed to have military in the U.S. city. You know, because that would make it a police state per se. And even though I'm one of the people who believe that we've been setting things in motion where we get closer and closer to a police state, I don't think that it should be. And for city officials in Chicago to even suggest bringing in a National Guard to curb violence, I'm like, aren't there police there? Don't they have police? Don't they have undercover detectives? Don't you have gang prevention units? And this goes back to what I was saying when we talked about culturally, we respect the violence only. Nothing else. Violence only. And we perpetuate it and then wonder why the kids acted out. They acted out because they looking at your grown ass acting stupid, fighting on TV behind what? It's an adult issue. Everybody makes it like there's something wrong with the kids nowadays. Well, somebody had kids. Somebody birthed these kids. Somebody taught these kids what they know. You know, and I mean, you can't blame it all on the adults, but you can blame 90% of it, because if you raise these kids up and they come out like that, who are you going to blame? I mean, it's a situation where we're passing the buck. We can't pass the buck. As Malcolm said over 40-some years ago, the chickens then came home to roost. Now what we going to do? On that note, I'm Dick Hugger. I'm giving a shout out to my girl Butter Pecan. Hope you get better. Smooth Drama. Y'all enjoy the fight. I'm gonna enjoy the fight. Y'all have a good night. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She
is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama. Smooth.